Hello, and welcome to a very spooky edition of Saturday Morning Cartoons, the weekly podcast that resurrects, reincarnates, and reviles some of the world's weirdest animated series. Coming to you from deep within the Ecto Containment System, I'll be your host, Dave Trumbore. Joining me today from the great beyond, better known as the Scourge of Carpathia, the Sorrow of Moldavia, it's Sean Paul Ellis. How are you, you old tyrant?
David, I'm doing well. How about you?
Feeling real spooky tonight. Feeling a little feral. Completing. Yeah. Oh, hold on. I gotta put my voice back on. I gotta put my spooky voice back on.
Hold on.
And completing this unholy trio, one of the many minions of Goza, it's Matt Barron. How's it going, sir?
It was going better about 15 minutes ago.
Yeah, I just sprung this upon you like a freshly resurrected corpse. Yes. Hey, it's Halloween, kids. I don't know if you knew this or not. It's Halloween.
All right.
Yeah. It all comes back around to Halloween. We're going to do a special little holiday episode. Is this our second holiday episode?
Yeah.
Only our second? Our first one, woof. I really hope that this
Fourth
one...
Fourth of July.
Whose bright idea was that? God, man, anybody who's been listening for a while remembers Liberty's Kids, the ill-fated 4th of July holiday edition of Saturday Morning Cartoons. We're going to go a little more traditional this time with a twofer.
Kind of wish Liberty had a miscarriage after watching Liberty's
boy,
Kids.
Boy, that's rough. Well, if she did, child would have showed up on this episode.
What, Matt?
I was going to say, I think those were called the Articles of Confederation.
Ooh.
Oh, okay.
History jokes.
I love the fact that Matt just goes,
just very
audibly.
Just because we came up with a fetus ghost ghost host. It's a fetus ghost host on Saturday Morning Cartoon.
Fetus ghost host.
Oh, boy.
Man.
Well, we are off to a start. Well, guess what, kids? We're going to be talking about some favorites, whether you know it or not. We're going to talk the real Ghostbusters, and as a bonus edition, I made the guys watch this one, Extreme Ghostbusters. You may be more familiar with one than the other. You're going to learn about both of them in the next hour. First, I'm going to turn it over to Sean.
Sponsored by Doritos and Mountain Dew.
Mountain Dew. Not really. I wish.
Mountain Dew.
That would be amazing if either of them decided to sponsor.
The Red Bull Extreme Ghostbusters Tour.
Yeah, totally fine with that. I'm totally on board.
Perfect.
That's what we're fueled by right now. And I'm going to turn it over to Sean.
Duly sponsored by GoPro.
And Sean's got his GoPro right now, taking us through the history of the real Ghostbusters. So here we go.
I'm a GoPro bro. Here we go.
He's a GoPro buster.
GoPro Ghostbuster.
Oh, boy.
How do we just hit
I don't know. Just get into it. Just...
You know, let's just start all over.
Welcome. Well,
all right. Real Ghostbusters, an American animated cartoon series from our friends at Deke. Columbia Pictures, because they own the rights to this.
You got it.
And Coca-Cola.
Yeah, why
I
not?
Which is always kind of fun. Yeah, why not? Coca-Cola. When you've got Coca-Cola money that you can throw around, you can go on and do series forever.
Series anything you want, yeah.
Yeah. So... this series ran from 86 to 91. It had like 175 or 176 episodes, right? Like,
yeah, it was crazy.
It's pretty substantial. Yeah. It's pretty substantial. If you're looking for a timeline of events, the Ghostbusters movie came out in 1984. This came out 2 years later, you know, to keep on the coattails of that freshly minted movie.
Exactly.
You know, they decide that they're just going to come out 2 years later. So, when did Ghostbusters 2 come out?
You put me on the spot. I'm not sure.
I know.
I can Google that real quick while you.
That's kind of hurting.
While you vamp for folks.
Because I'm thinking that like if it came out like during
89.
I'm assuming it came out during that time. So,
yeah, it was
89. Okay, great.
Yeah, right in the middle of 173 episodes of the real Ghostbusters.
Yeah, that's right. So I want to say one of the few shows that we've watched that like has really gone the distance in terms of seasons.
Oh yeah.
This might be the show that has the highest episode count.
Yeah, I really think it has to be, because we haven't talked about anything super, super popular, I mean, as a rule, because we're trying to find some of the more obscure ones,
sure.
Cough, cough, Extreme Ghostbusters, so yeah, we have, as a rule, we haven't gotten into anything that's, like, super popular and successful, but fuck it, it's Halloween, it's Ghostbusters time, and there might be a new movie coming out soon, too, so this all kind of ties in pretty well.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I want to talk more about the potential for the new movie.
Definitely.
Later. Like I said, it ran from 86 to 91, 173 episodes, and it just picks up pretty much. It continues on the exploits of Dr. Peter Venkman, Dr. Egon Spengler, Dr. Ray Stantz, and no title necessary, Winston Zeddemore.
Yeah. Why didn't he go back and get a doctorate in anything?
And the same secretary, Janine, is there. And the interesting addition is that there is the ghost Slimer, right, who now becomes their mascot in all of this, which I'm very curious to talk to Matt about a little bit later, because he has some very specific feelings about that. But first, Matt, can you tell us a little bit about Extreme Ghostbusters?
God. So that
Extreme!
Ghostbusters.
So that was a high-powered follow-up series, jacked up on all that Coke money. It was a follow-up.
Now, do you hold on? I need to clarify. Coke money. Are we talking Coca-Cola money, or are we talking where are we at here?
David, it was the 80s.
Okay,
it's
nailed
a question
it.
That answers
Done.
Itself.
Understood. Please continue.
At any rate, Extreme Ghostbusters got out of rehab in the mid-90s, and this show aired in 1997 and features a younger college-level Ghostbusters crew who were led by the veteran Ghostbuster Egon Spengler, and, as a trivia fact, mm-hmm. in some TV listings, it was labeled Ghostbusters Dark, which I actually think is a way more badass name.
Yeah, I really like that.
It's pretty sexy.
It is.
Pretty sexy.
It is pretty sexy.
Yeah. It's way, like, mid-90s HBO late night.
See, I think that's what maybe led to the change in title, at least here in the States, because Ghostbusters Dark, it does sound like some erotic fanfic, which, hey, is probably out there. I didn't search a Rule 34 on this one. I assume it's there. But I haven't checked. What's weird is when you just Google Real Ghostbusters, there's a lot of fan art for just Janine in various states of undress. And,
oh, God.
That was a weird one, man. Does it, though? It's kind of, I don't know, it's a little strange to me.
Well, would you she was Ray in various states of undress?
Yeah, I mean, I guess.
Good there's point, a, good point.
Yeah. What about Gozer the Gozerian?
She was really the, I mean... with the exception of the movie canon, really, Janine was really one of the only female characters that was in that, with the exception of the beautiful Sigourney Weaver.
Yeah. Who I don't think shows up at all in the cartoon. I didn't watch enough of it or remember of it from a kid, but highly doubtful. Yeah.
In my mind, Sigourney Weaver's character sadly died sometime between 84 and 86.
was resurrected for the second movie? Well, like what?
She was eaten by the ghost in the fridge.
The ghost.
Yeah, exactly.
Once in a while, I open my refrigerator door and just hope that there will be just like a demon dog in there that I can just hang out and like take to the park.
Hey, Dave, could you pass me the eggs? There are no eggs.
You ate them all yesterday morning, Zool. Every fucking day with you, more eggs. All you eat is eggs. You stink. You are terrible. I would be okay with a Zool pet. I'd be fine with a Zool pet. Moving on.
Dave, can you? I mean, we pretty much have an idea in terms of the Real Ghostbusters. And we got a little bit of the history about Ghostbusters Dark. Dark Cops. Can you fill us in on a little bit of the synopsis? Since TRG, The Real Ghostbusters, is really just a continuation and kind of further expands upon the universe that they had created in the two movies. But I was not as familiar with Ghostbusters or with Extreme Ghostbusters. So can you kind of fill me in on that?
Yeah, definitely. So like Sean said, the original series, it just continued the storylines with the characters from the movies, because honestly, that was the easiest thing to do. They could just kind of like expand the universe they'd already created. It was obviously very popular, very lucrative. They didn't really have to reinvent the wheel. Well, cut to, 10 years later, and there hasn't been a Ghostbusters movie. The cartoon series fizzled out in the early 90s. So somebody had the bright idea, I think it was actually a Sony Pictures distribution, had the bright idea to you know, revamp the Ghostbusters in an animated form. And that's where we get Ghostbusters Dark / Extreme Ghostbusters. So it's set 6 years after the end of Real Ghostbusters, where in canon, they're basically saying, like, oh, for those 6 years, there hasn't been any ghostly supernatural activity, so the Ghostbusters went out of business. That's kind of how they explain it away. Everybody else is kind of going off in their own direction, except Dr. Egon Spengler, who's still living at the firehouse. He's still caring for Slimer, which I think is sweet and kind of funny. And he teaches...
And a little sad.
And kind of real sad, because it's just...
And kind of sad.
Like a middle-aged dude just hanging out in a firehouse with his ghost buddy. Yeah. And to make ends meet, he basically teaches a paranormal class at a local, more or less community college. Like, it's not real good for Egon at the moment. But then, hey, guess what? In the first episode, more ghosts start to show up, so they're back in business. Except it's only Egon this time. The other guys aren't around. He happens to recruit the few students that show up for his class, and that's now, pretty much where the first two episodes pick up. Yeah.
Do they go into, like, any explanation about what happened to, like, Stance or, like, Zedmore or Venkman?
You know, like, they had some brief commentary on it, but just kind of, like, side things. Like, it was more like, because there's one girl who's, like, a big fan of Egon and his books and his adventures. The rest of them don't really know about these guys so much. Like, they kind of call him, like, oh, he's an original Ghostbuster, but that's all they really say. They don't seem to go too much into what the other ones did. So, I don't know if they did it just to separate, you know, if they just did it to separate from the other characters so they didn't have to pay, like, royalties or rights, or if they just wanted to focus in on Egon, because they kept the same, I believe it's the same voice actor in both. I think it's Maurice LaMarche in both. Yeah, it is. So that was kind of cool that they carried him over. Why that was, I have no idea. But they wanted to bring in, they basically wanted to pick up every minority group that they could possibly think of in this show and just cram them into a Ghostbusters outfit. Because if you think about it, the original one was just like...
It's kind of criminal. It's really...
It's just so artificial. But I liked it. I liked the characters so cool. Once I got to know them. But for the first couple of episodes, it's a little grating. Just because it's so artificial and so forced. Yeah. We can get into that once we talk about the characters. Did you guys want to mention kind of like the riffs on the theme songs at all? The classic one, which just kind of keeps Ray Parker Jr.'s theme. And then the 90s one, which extremes it up.
The theme is so distinct. It is the original Ghostbusters theme is so recognizable. Right. It's wonderful. And it's not so much the theme song that I actually remembered fondly. It was the, cause I watched Ghostbusters. Like, this was in, like, prime time for me watching cartoons.
Right.
Like, this whole, like, 86 to, like, 91 period of time, like, I was watching a ton of Saturday morning cartoons.
Yeah.
So this, I watched a lot of the Real Ghostbusters. And the thing that that was pleasurable for me when I started this back up was the intro sequence. Like, the music was great to hear, but just the ghost that's from, like, their symbol.
Yeah.
Just kind of, like, dancing around the fire hydrant.
Yeah.
And just kind of, like, that, I remembered that, and I just, as I was watching it, I was like, yes, I'm so excited. And then the ending sequence, where there's a ticker tape parade, and they're kind of, like, walking down the street, like, waving high, and they're doing finger guns, and then they do kind of, like, a coordinated,
yeah,
like,
the coordinated march kind of step. Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I was like, I don't know why I remember this so fondly, but like those two sequences, like that intro and outro sequence, it blew my mind again. I was just, oh, this is why I love.
I think it was just part of like the marketing though too, because they knew that the live action Ghostbusters, they were a little like, they could have been a little intense for real, real young kids. So I feel like the introduction of the animated ones are just kind of like, hey, it's a bunch of friendly ghosts, and the friendly Ghostbusters, who bust them? It's okay for kids. So I can understand why that would be like a fond memory of yours, because it was, I don't know, it was just fun. It was very cartoonish and just very fun. Extreme Ghostbusters.
And Sean, I totally agree. This was like kind of definitely the high watermark for me in terms of cartoons. Like, I was way far too into the Ghostbusters as a kid, and it was absolutely, like, entirely the cartoon. Like, I can't even tell you when I saw the movie, but it was definitely well after I'd been watching the cartoons for years.
Now Matt brings up a great point. Like, I mean, and I think this is something that we may have glossed over a little bit in terms of the history, is that these cartoons are obviously in existence to be able to sell toys.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
And since this was in, like, prime time for all three of us for, like, cartoon watching, as Matt had mentioned, like, did you guys own any action figures?
I did not own action figures. I owned one of the packs, I owned the trap.
I do remember that. My neighbor had all the toys, so I just, like, borrowed a bunch of stuff from him. I don't think I ever really had my own because I wasn't super into the cartoon. I loved the movies as I got older and I could, like, appreciate them a little bit more. I don't remember being super into this cartoon, either of them. I remember watching the real Ghostbusters, not being crazy about it. Yeah.
I own a lot of the real Ghostbusters toys, including I own the Firehouse.
That's awesome.
Which it was three levels.
Right.
There was like the first level where you would put, that was like the garage. And then there was a second level that was just kind of like, I don't know, I guess kind of like a lounge. And then there was like a rooftop. And the fun thing was that like you could put somebody on the second floor. There was sort of a pole.
Yeah, it had the fireman's pole,
you
right?
Could put them on.
Weren't they on like a little platform that just went up and down the pole?
It had a fireman's pole, but it had kind of like, I'm sorry?
Didn't have a platform that they stood on that was around the pole that could be moved up and down? Yeah, yeah.
Like how action figures have like that little plug that's in like the heel of their feet.
Exactly.
And you would like, you'd plug them in and then you'd hit this release and it would spin them all the way down, for like 5 seconds.
Yeah.
Like I thought it was the coolest thing.
No, I definitely remember that. And I remember Matt mentioned the proton packs, like the full size, almost like a Halloween costume size proton pack. And that trap was sweet. Like everybody wanted that. It was basically just a shoebox on an electrical cord. But I mean, the thing was awesome. It was a lot of fun.
Well, I mean, it was actually the one I had was – it was the plastic thing that had the doors. The doors glowed in the dark.
Ooh.
And this is how vividly, like, ingrained in my memory this was. The doors glowed in the dark, and then it had a tube going to the foot pedal.
Yep.
And it was like – it was just like an air-powered thing. So what was hilarious is you really had to stomp the shit out of that foot pedal to get the doors to open up. And either times, like, the doors would open and close real quick, or just one would open, or it wouldn't open at all, and the trap would just make, like, a silent but deadly fart noise. But I loved the hell out of that thing. And I 100% guarantee you that my parents still have that.
That's awesome. You got to bring it back out, get some pictures of it.
I know they don't have the pack, but I can guarantee you they have the trap.
That's pretty sweet. I like that.
So
I like
cool.
going. Do you guys remember the one? I think there was a toy of the very cartoonish Peter character. Didn't his eyes kind of like bug out? I feel like there was a switch or something you flipped on his back, and it like forced his eyes out and his tongue.
Oh yeah, it was like kind of on the back of his head.
Yeah,
it was like kind of like a trigger kind of thing.
Yeah, and it
just
pushed
his eyes out.
Like,
weirdly like shoot down and then upward and then back into his head.
Yeah, very strange.
There was another one that was either for Ray or Egon, where it was the trigger, and his hair would go up. Like, his hair was, like, jumping off of his head.
It was, like, their fright. They had some sort of, like, in their commercials.
Yeah,
I gotta look them up. It was, like,
their fright
motions or fright effects. Yeah, something ridiculous. I love the Ecto-1, though. I will say that, though. I loved their car. I love the Ecto-1. I love that siren. I love the old-school kind of, like, ambulance/hearse model that they had. Do you guys remember in the cartoon what the Ecto-2 was? Because I completely forgot about that.
Oh, it was
the
helicopter.
Like, helicopter.
Yeah, it was like a weird, I think there's a name for it. It was like a weird, almost like a tandem motorcycle helicopter thing.
That was some go-go gadget shit.
Yeah, it really was. it was like an ultralight. It's basically like an ultralight, but a helicopter. Yeah, very strange. The Ecto-2. Good times there, though. Extreme Ghostbusters, I'm going to feel like probably not quite as nostalgic for you guys. I don't even remember any of the cartoons. I read a little side trivia that Garrett, who we'll talk about here in a little bit, I don't think he's the only one that never had a toy made from him. Only one that never had a toy made.
Really?
Yeah, which I find very odd, which we'll talk about why in a little bit. Yeah, it's a little strange. You think he'd be, like, fun to make a toy?
I I don't know. I'm kind of. I mean, I know we're kind of transitioning into some of the characters. I mean, I know that we really don't have to like talk about as many of the characters from the real Ghostbusters. Right. So do we kind of want to? Like, is there anything that we need to gloss over that's like a glaring?
Ooh, I would just say maybe some of the like the voice work for real Ghostbusters if we want to talk that, because it's pretty amazing. Yeah. First of all, so Peter, who's obviously Bill Murray in the movies and is the de facto leader of the group, voiced by a guy named Lorenzo Music. I'm assuming that's how he pronounces it. The weirdest thing about this was for me when I heard him speak, I didn't think Peter, oh, that's Peter Venkman from the Ghostbusters. I thought that's Garfield from Garfield and Friends because A, it is the same voice, and B, it's so strong the way that it comes through. It was just weird for me because I'm just like, okay, it's the voice of Garfield. He's out busting ghosts. That was very strange. It was very
hey guys, I'm busting ghosts and hating on Mondays.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good there. Go have some lasagna.
You got any lasagna?
Yeah, there it is. Hey, guess who else shows up?
I hate Nermal.
Nermal. Guess who else shows up? It's our old friend, Mr. Frank Welker.
Oh, Frank Welker's in this. Yeah. Wonderful.
He does Ray and he does the creature effects for Slimer, too. Yeah. And then we mentioned Maurice LaMarche as Egon. I did not know that Arsenio Hall voiced Winston Zeddemore.
Winston Zeddemore.
I had no idea.
But he was in later seasons, though, wasn't he? Because, there were some shakeups in terms of the voice cast. It seemed like there were a lot of voice cast members that went for, like, one or two seasons, and then they were replaced by somebody else.
Yeah, I didn't get too deep into that. When I listened to it the first time, it didn't 100% sound like him. Much unlike Extreme Ghostbusters, where you can pretty much pick out the voices of each of the people. So I don't know. I'm not 100% sure on what happened with them. Hmm. But hey, you know what? Let's talk about Slimer, because he's a good transition between the two versions of the Ghostbusters animated series. And Matt brought up a good point that, well, I'll let Matt talk about it. The iterations of Slimer from the live-action movies to the two different animated series. He had a good point.
Yeah, so just backstory here. I saw the cartoons before I saw the movie, since I was one when the movie came out. But, just watching as many of the cartoons that I did, Slimer in the cartoons was a much more like comedy relief, generally friendly, kind of like a screw-up ghost. I mean, he's the comic relief, right, is what it is, like the kind of slapstick comedy. But then in the movies, he's the first ghost in Ghostbusters 1 that they encounter when they're, like, together as a team in that hotel.
Right.
And he's, like, just wrecking everything, like, pretty maliciously. So when I first saw the movie, I was like, now what the hell is this? Like, when I first saw him, I was like, okay, how the hell are they going to become friends with this ghost?
Right.
And then they just end up blasting him. And I was like, okay, this is – what the hell just happened? So it was like this is just really weird. I mean, it was, of course, it's because the order in which I watched it, but just this really weird shift for me. But I mean, it worked in the cartoons because, in serialized stories, you get to, you have time to do more. But in the movie, I was like, that's as fucked up.
Yeah, I could imagine that would really screw with your kid logic. Like, if you're just like, oh, Slimer, everybody's friends with Slimer. And then you're just like, why are they, what are they doing to him? That must mess with your head. But it's interesting how he's kind of changed from the different iterations. As a geek moment, I will say that I believe Slimer is still a non-terminal repeating phantasm or a Class 5 full-roaming vapor, no matter which iteration he's in.
I have no idea what the hell you just said, but I'll agree with it all.
Don't worry about it. It's parapsychology and psychology, so don't even worry about it.
So I just speaking on this whole Slimer thing, I think it's interesting to note that, at the start of the season 3 of the Real Ghostbusters, it was retitled Slimer! ! And the Real Ghostbusters.
Wow, he got first billing. That's interesting. I mean, it makes sense, though, because I feel like that's where they were just like, oh man, the kids, they love Slimer. It's just kind of like, young Sean Ellis loves, the dog fish thing from Tiger Sharks, or any little cutesy creature that shows up in any cartoon.
I like cute stuff, Dave.
Yeah, Sean likes cute stuff, like Slimer.
I'm cool with that.
No, I mean, it's smart, though, because that was like their mascot going forward, which is funny because you would think that it would be the little white ghost trapped in the sign, but nope, it's just Slimer. Everybody loves Slimer. Yeah, he's like a little Tasmanian devil ghost.
pulling up and looking at my notes in IMDb, yeah. Arsenio Hall was Winston Zeddemore from seasons 1 through 3.
It didn't even sound like him, though. That's strange.
And then I totally saw it. I totally heard it. The second I heard it, I was like, holy shit, that's Arsenio Hall.
Okay.
And then Peter Venkman was, like you mentioned, it was Lorenzo Music from seasons 1 to 2. And then it switched over to Dave Coulier.
What? Cut it out. Oh, boy.
Season 3.
Ask your parents, kids. If you don't know what we're talking about, ask your parents.
Oh, God.
Or don't. Just run away.
He's Canadian. That's all we'll say. That's all you need to know.
Okay.
Super Canadian.
If you don't want to ask your parents, just listen to Alanis Morissette's Jagged Little Pill.
There you go. All about Dave Coulier. Well, it's interesting, though, since we're talking voice actors, like with Slimer, so you had Frank Welker, obviously huge. Do you know if he was there for the whole time? I would imagine he was.
Frank Welker was.
So he was there for all those seasons. And then in the Extreme Ghostbusters, those voice effects were done by Billy West, who most people know from Futurama. He's done a ton of other voice acting work. And it's interesting to see their two different styles. So it's a little jarring to watch Slimer in real Ghostbusters, who just has like a very, you know, that was like the classic Slimer. And then Billy West's is a lot more like high-pitched and a lot more kind of erratic and just kind of like energetic, very befitting for Extreme Ghostbusters. But it's weird just to see the two and how those two play that character. But yeah, he's obviously been popular.
Well, it's also
for a long
weird
time.
Too, just in terms of like animation style. Like, yes. Slimer went from having like an overbite to an underbite.
Like, yeah, I think he can just kind of like mush. Can he just like kind of mush his face around, or is that just like his standard?
I was going to say, as a kind of ectoplasmically based being, I'm pretty sure he could just correct any orthodontic problems instantly.
No, he was not. He had giant horse teeth. On the top row, where we have our top row of teeth in the real Ghostbusters, Extreme Ghostbusters, he had a enormous like underbite with like giant teeth on the bottom of that, and then there were more like sporadic teeth on the top.
See, now here's a spinoff episode.
Creeping me out.
Here's a spinoff episode. We're going to discuss orthodontia and what is funnier, overbites or underbites. So we'll obviously have to talk Baron Unterbite. Many more characters. That's Slimer. Do you guys want to talk about, do you want to get into the characters of Extreme Ghostbusters a little bit before we get into the episode discussions? Just because I want to give people a little bit of a background. Did you guys have a favorite at all? Did you have anybody that you actually liked from this new series? Anybody jump out?
You know,
like we said, it was pretty forced, and we can talk about the different like demographics they tried to cram these characters into.
Yeah, I mean,
go ahead. Sorry.
Go ahead. You were going to tell us what.
All right, fine. I remember the show only because of the character Eduardo Rivera.
Okay.
Just because I did not remember him until I had seen screenshots of him, and I was like, oh yeah, that was. An incredibly campy, like, Latin stereotype.
Yeah, very much so.
The show.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I cannot remember. I mean, I could not tell you the plot of one episode of that series. He is the only character I remember, and it was his face and the voice, because it was just, like, just so stereotypical.
Do you want to describe him a little bit as far as just, like, his look? Because, remember, these are all supposed to be, like, college kids, kind of. Yeah.
Yeah, he's got that kind of, like, sort of, you know, Latin kind of long face, cutting jaw, really huge hoop gold earring,
right, exactly.
And a soul patch.
that people, like, generally just want to pull on to get his attention. They just grab him by his chin whiskers and just yank on him. Yeah. And he's like kind of always chasing the ladies, and he's kind of too cool for school, and he's just like this loner. Maybe not a loner guy, but he wants to just keep to himself and do things his own way, and he doesn't need all these other people. But he's also got this bravado that's pretty hollow, because as soon as they, like, put him in a scary situation, he kind of, like, he's definitely more afraid than the rest of them. So that, it's interesting that they at least tried to give these characters a bit of some dynamics and to try to round them out. It's just weird that they try to just, like, fill these strange demographics, like, oh, we need a swarmy Latino guy. All right, check. We got Eduardo Rivera. I don't know. What do you think? Should we get like a fat jock kid in a wheelchair? Let's throw him in there.
Yeah.
Anybody like Garrett? Nobody like Garrett.
I'm gonna be honest and just say I was not. I think maybe with the exception of Kylie.
Yeah.
I was not a giant fan of any of these guys. They all seemed either forced.
Oh, they definitely
forced
were
in terms of Eduardo and Garrett, or flat in terms of Roland. Yeah. And like that was hard. It really seemed like the only person who had any like attitude or sass or anything was Kylie, and even that sometimes was a little stifled. Oof. I don't know. I think I will say this. The character that I hated the most, mm-hmm, out of Extreme Ghostbusters was Eduardo.
Yeah, I could see that. He reminded me, like, I feel like he and Ayaz from Pirates of Dark Water are more or less related somehow.
I think
they're like a distant relation, much like Slimer is related to Lumpy Space Princess, I think, in some way. I'm not sure how. But
I really think Eduardo really hit like a sour note for me.
Really?
When he told Kylie that like she could stand to gain 10 pounds.
Yeah, he's got some weird, I wanted to save this for the episode discussion, but he has got some strange dialogue choices in this first couple episodes here, kids. Like misogynistic to the extreme. Yeah.
Yeah, extreme misogyny, which is unnecessary.
Yeah, very fitting in today's discussion.
Extreme fat shaming. Like, ugh, just settle down, buddy.
And he says it a number of times over and over again, whether she's there or not. It's at least three.
Maybe that's why they called it Ghostbusters Dark, because that shit is dark.
It got real dark.
Yeah, so Kylie's like, she's on the younger side, which there's also a quote that comes up related to her age later on, which I was just kind of like, wait a minute, this is a kid's show? We'll get to that in a second. But she's kind of like this goth.
And I just...
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, the other like, terrible fucking line that was from the...
Save it for the episode discussion.
Pilot. Okay.
So we can get into it. I just want to give him some context, like, while that scene is going on.
I'm going to dog ear that. There's another terrible Eduardo fucking comment that is just, like, it really, like, I'll just be blunt with this. I did not like Extreme Ghostbusters. The Real Ghostbusters was okay, and a little, like, it was fine to watch,
right.
And I think I'd like to go back and maybe watch a couple more episodes.
I would too,
but like it didn't really sell me on it. Extreme Ghostbusters, absolutely not. Like, I will not watch any more of that.
Well, let's jump into Real Ghostbusters then, since we're about halfway through the show. I want to take about maybe 10 minutes or so and talk about. We watched all three of us watched the first episode of the Real Ghostbusters called "Ghosts Are Us." So we watched that first episode. So we can talk about that for about 10 minutes. It was, again, like they expect you to just know the movie. So they expect you to know all the characters, know what the Ghostbusters are about and what they do, and they just throw you right into it, which I was fine with. I thought that was fine.
Right.
What do you guys Here's think as thing. Far as your this, reactions?
It was fine. I think the two big things that I had kind of after watching the episode was that, like, they have to give you a little bit more of the perspective of the ghosts.
Yeah.
So there are times where they follow the ghosts in this show, and that's fine.
Yeah.
It's just it's very campy. Like, if you're okay with like a little bit of camp, like, great. Like, then you're going to be totally fine with this. It'll be in your wheelhouse. Like, it's wonderfully like crappy. Like, because the ghosts that they introduce to you, like when they're doing, like when they're talking about from, and Egon's just like, yeah, they're from probably from New Jersey, and you're just like, okay,
take that, Jersey.
That was my exact reaction when they said probably New Jersey. I was like,
all right, I get it. But so they take a point of view from the ghost, and it's like it's really goofy, and it's there are times when like the trio of ghosts that they follow through this first pilot, it's like a mom, a dad, and like a child,
giant, a giant fat baby ghost. Yeah.
Giant,
and they're all super gross, and yeah, they don't really look human at all. They're just super like weird colored and just oddly textured and strange. Nothing you recognize from the movies either.
Well, they're full body class five,
full roaming vapors. Yeah.
So you know, it just like it was. They kind of follow a little bit of the story for them, which they actually serve, you know, kind of as the antagonist in many ways, because they kind of have this point where like they want to put the Ghostbusters out of business, of catch. They want to take all the business that the Ghostbusters have away from them.
So hopefully
they'll just fold.
So in short, the Ghostbusters themselves, our human heroes, go after this trio of ghosts. They bust them. They put them in the containment unit. Everything seems fine. I guess, meanwhile, while these guys are in the containment unit, they put this plan together. A side story to this, kind of like the B arc.
So Slimer's
being a goof the whole time. He's screwing stuff up. He's being a little jerk. I mean, he's not doing it on purpose. He's just, he's accident prone. He's an accident prone full roaming vapor. And he screws up. He has a bad day. It's Slimer's day out.
So he had a bad day.
Oh, man. So he screws up. Right. He lets these ghosts out of the containment unit. Whereupon, these ghosts decide to put their own ghost-busting business together called Ghosts R Us.
Yep.
And they get a ton of press. Yeah. Everybody loves them. And they, from right out of the gates, are putting the Ghostbusters to shame.
Now,
I didn't 100% follow what happened after that, to be honest with you. It was so...
This is the point that I'm going to come back to later. Okay. This will be my second dog ear, is that this is a city, all right? New York City is a location where ghosts exist. All agree that ghosts exist. People are celebrating the fact that exists.
Yes.
Can we all say yes to that?
Oh, I would think yes.
Matt, we can all say in the world of this cartoon – ghosts exist.
Yep.
There's no disputing the fact that ghosts exist.
I think we got it.
And maybe not necessarily celebrating, but certainly like
acknowledging.
Not really.
Well, I mean, they were out any factory that they caught the trio in, and they got all the chocolate for free. Like they're on television. Like it's public.
And there's hundreds of people watching these ghosts just wreak havoc on things and watching the Ghostbusters swoop in it. So everybody knows.
I wanna dog ear that when we go back when we talk about Extreme
Ghostbusters. Okay, fair enough. You forget a lot in 6 years, apparently. You forget world changing events 6 years later, as we all know. Tends to happen.
No, it's pretty much like the entire world destroyed itself and then regrew.
Yeah.
And forgot
just had amnesia.
All of the events that had happened 6 years prior.
Now, I do want to say this. I can't remember exactly how it gets to this point, but the Ghosts R Us ghosts are fairly successful, and they get to the point where they can kind of like lure the actual Ghostbusters to this enormous and terrifying, like dilapidated toy factory. Is that where they ended up, right? It just looked huge. It looked like a skyscraper that used to be made to make toys, and it had just fallen into disrepair, but this place was freaking enormous.
Yes.
And at that point, I was just kind of like, so the ghosts
did you zone out?
Who did I zone out?
Yeah, did you zone out?
No, I was trying to think of how to describe what happens next, because these ghosts go in there, and they kind of like what call upon this,
they call upon like a larger, specter or like poltergeist that's there, thinking that it's one ghost that they need to come out and do a haunting. Turns out it's another ghost.
Oh, but the thing is,
a much more powerful, stronger
ghost. Oh, it's huge too. It's absolutely huge. And at this point, it was almost, I was watching the animation, and it, up until, you know, this is 15, 20 minutes of a lot of camp, a lot of goofy stuff, a lot of very different humor from what the movies were like. At this point, when they brought this thing up, and I don't know, it wasn't exactly scary, but it was pretty intense, the animation of this thing kind of coming together for like a little kid. And I thought
it was a lot of creepy, like childhood toy
iconography. It had like the weird, like the monkey with the symbols, the wind up monkey with the symbols, but he looked super spooky, and there was like a big like toy blocks and a big wheel, and they all kind of came together in this weird poltergeist kind of amalgamation. And I looked right at it and I was like, that fucking toy needs to be our mascot, because at this point it's the size of a skyscraper and it is just rolling through the city, just smashing everything to bits. And I'm like, that's fucking awesome.
So again,
that's our mascot.
Citywide event.
Right.
All right. It's on the news.
Epic stuff.
A ghost is attacking. It's on like Gozer, like Stay Puft Marshmallow Man scale.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Like it is rolling down a bridge at one point, and they show this animation several times, and it's rolling over cars, and the cars are like bursting into like little smoke clouds.
Yeah, just poof.
Like kind of what you look like a cartoon like hot dog whenever you like burn it up real quick on a grill. Like that's exactly what they're fucking like turning into. Yeah. It's just like what?
No, but I love that moment.
We need to take it one step further.
Yeah.
We need to take it one step further there because
the
way they get rid of that ghost is by blowing up what's it, Ecto-2.
Ecto-2, gone. Introduced gone in the same episode.
Yeah. Right next to
Hired and Fired.
Right next to the Brooklyn Bridge, I believe it was.
Sure.
Huge explosion.
Was it the Brooklyn Bridge?
I believe it was.
I got a bridge to sell
you. Okay.
A huge explosion right next to the bridge. No damage to the bridge.
Bridge is totally fine. The water took care of everything.
Totally,
it was all right.
Totally fine.
But there's a key point. Remember that I said that Slimer's arc in this episode, he's been a goof. He's screwed everything up. He's super, super worried that his best human buddies are going to disown him. Or worse, put him back in the containment unit and never feed him again. Guys, how does Slimer save the day here? Or how does he help out at least?
Oh, man. Slimer uses his slime and greases up the sides of the bridge so that as this giant monstrosity is walking towards him,
roller skating down the bridge.
Yeah,
he roller skates down the side of the bridge and slips off in some of the worst animation I've seen in a while.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
Yeah, and then they fry the thing. So it was cool. It was fun. I mean, it was definitely aimed at a much younger audience, and obviously it did pretty well because it was on the air for, what, 6 years, 7 seasons, 173 episodes.
7 seasons.
Yeah, pretty, pretty good. Before we jump to Extreme Ghostbusters, Matt, did you have anything to add from the second episode? I know you watched a bonus round, so any cool stuff?
No, I mean, just, you know, thematically, I mean, without diving into the plot, you know, it's really just kind of more the same, you know, to its plus and its negative. The real Ghostbusters had a great formula that consisted of not a lot except, you know, marketing a show to kids, selling some toys, and just having something that's, you know, Saturday morning cartoon watchable. You know, this isn't groundbreaking story writing here, but, for somebody who's like, let me see, in like 1988, I was like, what, 6 or 7? So like, you know, for somebody who's like, you know, 6 to 10, it was entertaining. I mean, I definitely, you know, got flashbacks of like how fun watching it was. But, you know, I kind of watched, I watched the first 3 episodes of The Real Ghostbusters and then just kind of watched like little 5-minute clips like throughout some other, you know, episodes in that series. And I swear to God, like, you could watch the whole first episode and, you know, skip ahead 120 episodes and you get the exact same thing.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure it was just formulaic, but it was perfect for the late 80s. And especially with the popularity of the movies, it was just, they did a great job.
Production animation is what it was.
And that brings us to Extreme Ghostbusters, where I still don't know why they tried to reboot this, but, yeah, so to Sean's point before, this still takes place in New York City. It's supposed to take place in the world of the Ghostbusters because we still have Egon, and the community at large, the world, you would imagine, still knows about the Ghostbusters. They make it a point that the kids that come into this show through Egon's class know that the Ghostbusters existed at one point. You know, it's not like a legend that happened 100 years ago or a story that somebody wrote and was never proven or anything like that. It's something that exists and is documented. So to Sean's point, I'll let him make his point about kind of what goes on in this one. But it seems like that's a contradiction within the show itself.
So Extreme Ghostbusters serves to completely negate anything that happened in the first 2 movies and 7 seasons of the cartoon. Like, I was so frustrated watching this and just like watching them like humiliate and like make fun of Egon, you know, the man making fun of Egon and like making a public spectacle of him. And they're saying like, oh yeah, like ghosts don't exist and they're not around. I'm like, he has saved this city numerous times everybody from this reality or this universe that they created is not debating whether or not ghosts exist. They're trying the best they can to mitigate that problem with the Ghostbusters.
What they did, it seemed like they... I'll let you finish. I just want to throw a point in. It seemed like they went back to the plot of the first and a little bit of the second movies, where everybody thought these guys were crooks. They thought they were shysters. They thought they were, you know, charlatans making all this stuff up. It's almost like they went back to the drawing board, but not to redraw their own path. They went back and just borrowed the drawing board that the guys from the movie Harold Ramis and crew had left behind and just made it again, use the same ideas with younger kids in a quote-unquote hip 90s demographic. So... But so, you had more to say.
I mean, where the real Ghostbusters was kind of like light and marketed towards kids.
Right.
The Extreme Ghostbusters aims to be a little bit more mature. Whereas the ghosts that are in the real Ghostbusters are kind of silly and campy and ridiculous. It seems like the ghosts that are in Extreme Ghostbusters are very serious.
Yeah, like, as serious as
specifically do stuff.
Yeah, they have motives.
Now, where
the
main characters of the real Ghostbusters are very like, you know us, we're lovable, we're enjoyable, we have personalities from the movies that are being pretty much mapped directly into the show. The characters that you have in Extreme Ghostbusters are just flat and dull. And
grating or misogynistic at worst. Yeah.
Just misogynistic or I want to there is a line. Can I undog ear this right now?
Sure. We'll talk about
Eduardo Rivera.
Do you want to give them context though? Because I think we're talking about the same line. So should we give them some context for it just so they know kind of what the scene is setting up? You're talking about.
Sure,
okay.
Sure.
So in the beginning of the episode, these construction workers who are working on like a subway tunnel unearth this ancient, well, somewhat ancient ghost. Ancient spirit of evil. She happens to be trying to infect people. She needs to find a host in the city, so she's trying to infect people, but they need to be somewhat willing to kind of accept her form into their body. Long story short, one of the aforementioned extreme Ghostbusters is the only female, aside from Janine, the only female Ghostbuster by the name of Kylie, who's kind of this goth girl who's into the supernatural, ends up being inhabited, possessed.
A willing host.
A willing host, more or less, by this spirit. So that obviously leads...
She gets duped. We should say she gets duped.
She does get duped. She calls it. That's her own fault to begin with. She calls it with a ghost beacon, which is a real thing that they put in this show. A ghost beacon.
It's a real new device that we have.
Yeah.
So fair enough.
It's just a spinny light. That's all it is. Don't have any spinny lights at your house or all the ghosts will come. But she eventually gets possessed, which of course lead the other guys to come after her, try to save Kylie, and try to get rid of this demon ghost. Now I'll turn it back over to Sean, who's very excited to talk about this one particular line. So
there
is
one point where Kylie is sort of making like an advance towards Eduardo.
Kylie as the ghost creature,
Yes, and it's Kylie as the ghost being possessed is making a sexual advance towards Eduardo. And Eduardo does not know that she is possessed. So he's kind of into it. He's kind of like, this might be a thing. So then suddenly Roland and Garrett roll up.
Oh, boy. Remember, kids, Garrett's in a wheelchair.
He's in a wheelchair.
Yep.
Oh, Lord.
So they roll up and they're like, get away from her. To which Eduardo responds, why? She's 18. She's over 18.
She's legal.
She's legal.
She's legal.
Oh, God.
The exact quotes go, back off, Eduardo. Why? She's legal. And they're like, she's a ghost. And nobody takes a second.
Fucking cringe.
Why? She's legal.
So, and then he makes a comment about, like, you know, she's like, something about like going for me, and that's when he drops the line about like, you know, you could stand to gain 10 pounds or something like that.
Yeah, and he says something about her later on just to the guys.
He's already... So if their idea was to include somebody of a Hispanic descent, they've right. already made that person rapey.
Terrible.
And a fat shamer. Like, what a bag. Like, he is a poor representative for a community that probably loves Ghostbusters in general. I mean, not to mention the fact that, like, Central and South America has a very rich culture and heritage regarding the dead. Like, and so the fact that, like, the person that they would use as kind of like a segue to introduce people into this character or this kind of Ghostbuster canon comes off in such a negative way. I was like, fuck this show.
Yeah, pretty awful. The rest of them really aren't much better, though. I mean, Roland, we've kind of talked about.
Well, when you set the bar that low,
you
don't really have anywhere to go.
Well, here's the thing, though. The real Ghostbusters set it, maybe not high, but they at least set a benchmark like, hey, here's what we've already got. Let's build on this, not just tear it down and shit all over it. Because, okay, so you've got Winston Zeddemore, who's the only, you know, minority character in real Ghostbusters. You know, you got three white guys, you got a white accountant, you got a white secretary, and then Winston, who I absolutely love Ernie Hudson as Winston in the Ghostbuster movies.
Yes.
Why? But why do I love him?
He was my favorite.
I don't love the guy because he's black. I love the guy because he comes in and he's the everyman. He's just kind of like, you know, if there's a steady paycheck in it, I'll do whatever you guys need me to do. He's like, I don't understand this shit. He's got great lines, but he's the everyman. He doesn't have the scientific background. He's not super geeky, super nerdy. He's just doing this as like a blue-collar Ghostbuster kind of work thing. Then they bring this.
Makes it totally approachable.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And God.
And then they bring this Roland kid in to do nothing for anyone, pretty much. He's a black guy on the show. He's got more or less zero personality. We think he's rich because he keeps, you know, talking about, you know, he's got his Mustang outside and he's got this and that and he's going to be a doctor. But he wants.
What was the line that they asked him right off the bat? They're like, are you here for an easy A?
Oh, my God.
Like, I'm not into rap music. And I was like,
he says it in the whitest way possible.
Way to juke to the side of a comment that's like about a fucking class, but you had to sort of make it.
You had to reach for it. Here's the worst part, though.
You had to reach for it?
You know the voice actor? You know whose voice actor
is? Yeah.
Yeah.
Alfonso.
Ribeiro. I guess that's how you say his name.
Ribeiro.
Yeah. It's Carlton Banks from Fresh Prince.
Mm-hmm.
It's Carlton Banks. So he's already kind of got like the white guy stigma as far as his character work goes. But this guy just has zero personality. I mean, he's smart. He can fix stuff. He's kind of limp-wristed when it comes to the ghost busting. He's not real good with aiming the proton pack.
He's a conscientious driver.
He's a very conscientious driver. He's just kind of milquetoast. Like, he's not interesting. Yeah. And they don't set him up to antagonize or be the antagonist for anybody else in the group. None of them all. It's not one of those things where like, oh, they're all, you know, antagonists and it's all a bunch of odd couples and we'll see if they all work it out eventually. It's just kind of like, no, everybody's just kind of terrible in their own way. And they just happen to fall into ghost busting because Egon basically gets the plague and there's no one else around that wants to help. So it's these assholes that have to save the world.
Here's the thing I don't understand.
Yeah.
All right. So Egon, on the first day of class, all right, there are four people, and he's just like, that's double the number that I typically have for my class. So you're like, okay, great, I know math.
Yeah.
He usually only gets two people.
How are you still teaching?
In a giant lecture hall.
Right.
Okay, which seems like a poor, like, which
a
seems
waste
like
of resources.
Like an administrative, like, flaw on that New York college's part not doing a better job
Hey, man, when you're tenured, you know, you can pretty much do whatever you want.
Yeah, but here's the other thing. Going back to Sean's point earlier, and he may
just
have been about to make this.
Just drop your coat on the desk and be like, what are you going to do about it?
Yeah, what are you going to do? Sean may have been about to make this point, I'm not sure. But, again, we're supposed to be in this world where Egon and the other Ghostbusters are basically just, like, heroes. I mean, they're just heroes to at least New York, if not the world, over and over and over again. And now nobody wants to come to his class only 6 years later?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? I'd be there today. Thousands of people, millions of people would want to attend this class just to hear his stories. You know, he drones on and on and on about science talk and stuff, but still, just to hear his stories.
You guys are wonderful, but I'll leave this in a moment if I can become a real Ghostbuster.
Dude, even when I was watching the show, I was like, God, we are all so much better than these terrible characters on this show. Like, I'd be there in a second. If they had, like, you know, there's,
We're
like, Clown College. If they had Ghostbuster College, I'd be there. Done. I'll borrow Matt's parents' proton pack.
Oh, yeah, let me know how far you get with
it. I'm just going to steal it.
I can't imagine, like, you know, after being going through Ghostbuster College, like, oh, I got this Ghostbuster College debt. We're just like, ugh.
I know how that feels. Sure, it feels pretty awful.
I bet you it's only an associate's degree.
It's probably a 6-month program. Probably. You get a certificate at the end of it.
Certificate. Uh-huh.
Yeah, exactly. It's like 6 months of classes, 6 months of an externship, and then you're in the real world.
Oh God! And then people just call you constantly because anytime they ask, like, "Man, I got these ghost problems. Who should I call?" And they're like, "Oh, this guy he's a Ghostbuster. Just totally call him up. Call him up."
We're with this guy, Dave. He's a great Ghostbuster. You should really give him a call. Here's his car.
Can you add GB to the end of your name?
You know. No. Do you think they're unionized?
I mean, enough of them, if there were ever more than four at any one given fucking time in this universe, how do they not franchise this? This is the greatest tragedy to strike the Ghostbusters. I'm talking in canon, like we're actually in the show now. The greatest tragedy is that they did not franchise this out so that there was like an Indianapolis Ghostbuster branch and a Pittsburgh Ghostbuster branch. Yeah.
You know, I think, and actually I just thought of this, like it would seem comically enough that the only place that there are ghosts en masse on Earth is New York City. But also in the movie, you remember the building that they were in? I think it was Egon was talking about how, like, the frame of the building was made of some, like, special metal.
Oh, yeah,
yeah. Basically, like, a huge magnet.
And the way it was, it was constructed in a way that would, like, summon the ancient spirits or whatever, the Sumerian gods.
I could totally get that. Like, that's why there's so many ghosts, like, from the movie. And I know it just totally read between the lines of, you know, something that is, like, if you explained it in the movie, nobody would care. Everybody would be like, oh, great, move on. But at the same time, it's like, if you're looking at the actual story of it, then it kind of makes sense.
Well, they also, in the second one was less about, like, just the population and the history behind it. Now, I know a lot of people don't like the second movie nearly as much. I love it.
I think it's great.
I love it. I just love what they do with it. It's so weird and out there. But that's
them
more about
the
like
slime in the sewers. I was like, that looks like a blast.
Or the bathtub. And it was that slime. It was like that emotionally resonant, like plasm, whatever they call it, ectoplasm. That stuff, it was cool because they used it as like, if it absorbed a lot of hate, if there was a lot of hate in the area, it reacted that way.
If it had
some good vibes by playing some like soul music or something, it reacted in a good way and it made, the Statue of Liberty get up and dance. I love that. Right. There's nothing like that in this show. Everything is just terrible.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
Also, the best line from that movie is, why am I drippings with goo?
Oh, man, Janosch has so many good lines. Yes, the Scourge. Yeah. We've heard you. Yes.
Yeah. If they wanted to absorb some hate, just put some of that goop on me and just have me watch Extreme Ghostbusters.
Sean will make a toaster just flip out. Is there anything else from Extreme Ghostbusters that you even want to like mention or talk about? Because everybody's pretty terrible.
Yeah, didn't like a main antagonist that was called the Grundle.
There was a greaser at some point. There was grease. I think there was a Grundle. Yeah.
Was there something called
Taint?
There's
a ghost. There's a sure. Yeah, I know, exactly. There's a ghost that they have that's in this show that is called Grundle, and I'm just like, I can't get over exactly what Matt said, is that that's immediately what I think of anytime somebody says Grundle.
Here's a pro tip. Don't Google Grundle while hosting a podcast. There's a lot of strange things happening now.
Make sure you go incognito.
Well, too late. Here comes the NSA. We only got a few minutes before they take me away. So
too late.
All right. So we really don't need to talk any more about Extreme Ghostbusters. We will do a quick round of recommendations, and then I want to talk briefly about Ghostbusters 3, if we can do that. So, Matt, on Real Ghostbusters and Extreme Ghostbusters, give me your recommendations.
I would definitely watch Real Ghostbusters. Prepare yourself for childlike 80s camp. But if you watched it when you were a kid, I mean, it still holds up. Am I going to watch all 170 episodes? Nope. But you know, it was a good watch. You know, brought back good memories. Extreme Ghostbusters, don't even bother. Just move on.
Fair enough. Sean, yeah. How do you feel? I think we know, but just to get the record straight.
Real Ghostbusters, I would say maybe watch a handful of episodes. I remember that there's one in particular that is very cool where, like, a couple of the Ghostbusters get sucked into, or maybe Slimer does, into the containment unit. And you get to see it from the, like,
yeah,
the from the POV inside. Of
oh,
inside
I remember
the
that.
Unit.
Yeah, that was awesome.
I remember that was really fucking cool. So I find, you know, within the 173 episodes, find that one and check that out. Watch the first one. But like Matt said, ton of camp. Extreme Ghostbusters, just kill yourself. You should be ashamed. Like, what a terrible, terrible show.
Part of me hopes that it, like, got better after that rough first two-parter episode. But, I mean, it did only last for, like, one season, I think.
Then it gets Grundle.
Like, it gets to the Grundle. And it had a, yeah, I don't know. I think it was only a one-season run. So I'm going to agree with the guys. Check out Real Ghostbusters. It's not, again, for me, I love the movies. The cartoon was okay. It's kind of a throwaway for me. Extreme Ghostbusters, if you want to punish yourself, or just take an angsty trip back to the mid-90s or late 90s, go for it. I don't know. I'd recommend not doing that. Just stick with the Real Ghostbusters. The good news is, folks, we finally seem to have some momentum on a third Ghostbusters movie. Now, I know that's good news to some, and that's terrible news to others, but it's happening either way. Because that's just the way the world works.
I think we've learned, like, I think we've learned the one big thing is that, like, look, these rumors and these things that happen on the internet in terms of where this is going, like, don't believe it until you've actually purchased a ticket and are sitting in a movie theater, and then make up your mind for yourself.
Yeah, don't ruin it. Don't ruin the experience before you even get to the damn theater or watch it on TV. Like, just
here's
relax.
The thing.
Yeah.
They've already given us two great movies, all right? What makes you think that, like, they're going to shit on a third one? Like, this has been in talks for, like, two decades now at this point. Like, they want this to succeed. Everybody wants this to succeed.
Do you guys know any details on this one? I've got a few to share with you and the listeners.
I've got nothing.
You got nothing? Sean, do you know anything about this one?
Well, I know that they're considering rebooting it with an all-female cast.
Right. Yeah. So we've got director Paul Feig lined up. Were you aware of that?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he's obviously with films like The Heat, and Bridesmaids. Yes. He's done fairly well with the female-fronted comedies. So he's done just fine. He apparently has said that he's going to do a hard reboot to the franchise. So unlike the cartoon series, this is going to just be basically an origin story. So we're going to start from scratch. The previous Ghostbusters did not exist. Like Sean mentioned, for a couple of, you know, decades now, since that last movie came out in 89, people were wondering if we could get the old gang back together. Now, unfortunately, with the passing of Harold Ramis and the fact that Bill Murray kind of wants to distance himself from it because he's just kind of a been there, done that kind of guy. And they're all pretty friggin' old at this point. I think it's probably for the best to just kind of reboot it and do something different. I actually, before I rewatched Extreme Ghostbusters, I thought it would have been kind of cool if they went younger with it and did something similar to what Extreme Ghostbusters was originally intended to be, which was that, you know, the passing of the torch, the carrying on of the ghostbusting tradition and mythology. But if it turns out anything like Extreme Ghostbusters, that would be horrendous. So I'm perfectly fine with a third Ghostbusters, an all-female cast, a hard reboot to this, and just let's see something new. Let's see something different. And in this day and age, I mean, 2014, with the movie-making technology that we have, I don't even know what's going to show up on this screen. It's going to be, I think it's going to be fantastic. Because they're definitely going to throw money at it.
I've heard some castings or casting choices kicked around for Melissa McCarthy.
Yeah, I mean, with, you know, Paul Feig, she's probably going to be
like
there.
Yeah, possibly Anna Faris, possibly Eliza Dushku. I don't care. I mean, it's not that I don't care. I will say I do care. But I care to the point where, like, I'm willing to allow this franchise to get rebooted. Even if it's a hard reset, that's fine. I think the idea of flipping this and making it an all-female cast, I think that that's really cool. I think that's a great idea, and it's something that I think that I'm going to get really excited about when I see it.
Yeah, I think it'll be a lot of fun, and I'm anxious to hear more about it as it comes out. you know, it's not one of those things that's super high on my radar, just because, you know, Marvel and DC are currently battling it out by releasing 4 billion movies over the next few years.
God.
Yeah, that's going to be saturated.
Blown up this week. It is crazy.
Well, I mean, that happens when you say, like, here's all the movies coming out in the next 5-6 years, and there's 36 of them or whatever it is. But
deploy Phase 3, and Phase 3 is like, what, 10 movies?
Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous. We're still in the middle
of it. Amazing.
Yeah. Well, anything else on Ghostbusters, movie, live action, animated, otherwise, toys? Anything else you guys want to share before we wrap up this Halloween holiday edition?
I think the final thing is that, like, you know, we recently watched a couple episodes. We watched Pepper Ann, which had a strong female lead,
yes.
And we watched Aeon Flux,
yes.
from Baron's recommendation. Strong female lead. I'm really enjoying seeing strong female leads lately. So yeah, Ghostbusters 3. I think it's great.
Cool stuff. Baron, anything from you from the Ghostbusters franchise you want to share with the folks? Any more toys you remember?
No, you know, I mean, well, between the proton pack and the trap, you know, I mean, it's just got, like, it's got one of those, like, great, you know, nostalgia footholds on my my memory from, you know, being a kid. But, I mean, it was also, like, you know, being so young in the 80s, I don't really exactly remember, you know, other than reading about it, how, like, huge these movies were.
Right.
But, you know, just to me, this is probably one of the biggest cartoon series, you know, that we've reviewed so far that is really kind of, you know, consistently stayed in the top three for me.
Cool. And I'll tell you what, the movies, I don't even want to say relevant. They stay entertaining and they stay fresh and they stay fun, you know, 20 some odd years later. I plan on watching them again this weekend just because I like to do that around the Halloween holiday. And they're just fun, man. They're just fun to sit there and quote. You find new stuff that maybe you missed on previous watches, and they're just good. So definitely go check them out. I don't even know if they're, like, streaming anywhere, but just buy them. Do yourself a favor and buy them. Watch them instead of any of the cartoon stuff, because much, much better. Do you guys have anything coming up that you want to tell the listeners about? Sean, I know you've had some shows recently. Do you have anything coming up in the next few weeks?
Ooh, man, I'll have a bunch of shows coming up in the December time frame.
All right.
But no actual dates. But you can keep apprised of by checking out WashingtonImprovTheater.com, which I believe they're revamping the website in the next couple days, so that'll be cool.
Very cool. We'll have links up on our show notes to head show you guys over to that location. Hopefully it'll still work once they change the setup of it. Matt, do you have anything coming up in the next few weeks?
No, this podcast is all I have.
It's all he has to keep him sustained.
Aww,
buddy, you just won that
cool
World Series of debt baseball. They did for you.
Let me tell you, I was super happy about you know, the Giants winning the World Series, but kind of in the Dark Side Emperor way, I was a little bit more happy about seeing the faces of depressed Kansas City Royal fans. I don't know what that says about me as a person.
It says you're into the Schadenfreude. Yeah. You love
just
the Schadenfreude.
You'll never be Royals.
You'll never be Royals. Do not bring that pop music into this podcast. This isn't a popcast. Get it out of here.
I love listening to Lord.
Get it out of here.
Hey, Matt.
Thanks for asking. Sean, you're terrible. I got a bunch of stuff going on over at Collider.com. I'm reviewing a bunch of the aforementioned comic book shows that are currently all over the TV. So on Mondays, we got Gotham. On Tuesdays, we got The Flash. Wednesdays, we got Arrow. Fridays, Constantine. And Sundays, The Walking Dead. Doesn't leave me too many days off during the week, but that's just fine. Come on over to Collider.com and check out my recaps each and every week. As far as us
on
the show, yeah, what's up?
Oh, I was going to say, you had a wonderful review in terms of Constantine. That was very fun to read.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to reading your Flash article that you wrote, since I just watched the episode this morning.
Oh, hey, buddy. Thanks. Yeah, Constantine was fun. It was a little bit of a mess as far as editing and stuff went, but it was fun. I think it'll do pretty well, especially following after Grimm on NBC. So, good times. Check that one out. It's different. It's fun. That's about it for me and my plugs, talking about myself. If you want to find us...
Dude, where can we find you on the internet?
Find me on the internet? Oh, I don't know.
Where can we find Saturday Morning Cartoons and yourself and your lovely self?
And my lovely self. If you want to find more about the show, you can find us over at SaturdayMorningCartoons.com. Remember, that's morning with a U. if you want to check out our Tumblr page full of wackiness and hopefully a lot of animated underbite Slimer gifs in the next couple of days or so.
I need to find some. Yeah.
You can look on our website actually, because on our character guide it ends with a smiling underbite Slimer gif. So there you go.
I did the work for you.
And you can find that at SaturdayMorningCartoons.tumblr.com. You can follow us on Twitter at MorningToons. Sean, where can the folks find you on Twitter and Instagram?
At Sean Paul Ellis.
And Matt, where can the folks find you on social media?
Sorry, at Bag of Sandwiches.
Bag of Sandwiches. You can find me at Dr. Claw MD. If you want to send us an email, please do. We'd love to hear from you over at SaturdayMorningCartoons@gmail.com. As always, we are available on both Apple iTunes and on Stitcher if you prefer the Amazon version to listen to your podcast. So feel free to subscribe over there. We will have links to all those things we just talked about up on our webpage. Guys, guess what? Do you know what episode this is and what episode is coming up? Because I can count sequentially.
Oh, man, this is a milestone episode.
It's big times. It's big times. 25th episode, everyone, is coming up. We're a quarter of the way there.
Yeah.
I don't know where there eventually is, but we're a quarter of the way there.
I was going to say, based on your sentence, 100.
Yeah, we're going to go 100. Let's go with 100. We're going to do math on next week's episode. Now, 25th episode, I'm very excited. We talked about doing smaller shows as a rule. We're going to break that rule again for the 25th episode. And Matt, I'm going to let you tell the folks what we're going to be talking about, because you kind of already told them last week. So tell them again. What are we watching?
Thundercats.
Oh, so excited, apparently, for Thundercats. Yeah.
Well, I had to bring it down.
You had this nation as every character in Extreme Ghostbusters.
Thundercats.
Oh, okay, cool.
She's legal.
Thundercats.
Thundercats are totally legal, you guys. It's going to be great.
You could stand to gain 10 pounds.
Oh, terrible. And I don't know how this relates whatsoever to what Sean just said, but we are going to have a very special guest next week as well. So make sure to tune in and listen to our discussion on Thundercats and a little bit of business behind the scenes of Hollywood, see how some of this stuff gets made. So it's going to be a good time. Thank you guys for listening. We wish you a very safe and happy Halloween out there, especially for the youngsters trick-or-treating. Everybody be safe. Have a good time. Eat all that candy. And we will see you next time on Saturday Morning Cartoons. Thanks for listening. We're going to let Sean take us out.
Dave, Baron, we ride!